Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Noon. Your temperature is 48 to 53 degrees with high 60 to 65. Not a washout day with this rain, but again, you'll want to have the umbrella. About a tenth to a quarter of an inch of rain expected on your Saturday. Sunday, dry, mostly sunny, and more summery, 82 to 87 degrees. I'm 7 News Chief Meteorologist Veronica Johnson in the First Alert Weather Center.
51 degrees in Washington at 3:59.
You're listening to WTOP, Washington's news, traffic, and weather station.
WTOP News. Facts matter.
Well, it's Saturday morning. It's the weekend, everybody. We've made it April 27th. Welcome in. I'm Dean Lane. Coming up, a protest against the war in Gaza continues locally at GW University. Right now, if you're 16 or younger, you are not allowed this overnight early morning to be on the National Harbor. A curfew underway.
Small business owners say a National Harbor curfew will help, but they want a more permanent fix. I'm Matt Koufax.
Tornadoes overnight early morning sweep through the midsection of the U.S.
A draft report on flooding that killed 10 dogs at a D.C. business is out now. I'm Kate Ryan.
Good morning. It's 4 o'clock.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Wendy Gillette. A strong tornado damaged hundreds of structures in Omaha, Nebraska yesterday afternoon. KOLN-TV reporter John Grinvalds describes the destruction.
There's debris all around. There are cars that were picked up and thrown over here, scattered pieces of metal all twisted around. There's a lot of first responders who came out here, departments all around the area.
Twisters also hit Oklahoma and Texas. Injuries were reported, but no deaths thus far. Pro-Palestinian demonstrations are roiling college campuses across the country. It all started at Columbia University in New York City, where the protests are still ongoing. CBS's Michael George was there.
Columbia is working to regain control by keeping outsiders out. Security is now checking IDs to make sure only students and staff can get in.
It's your birthday!
It was a different scene at Ohio State overnight. At least three people, including a graduate student, were arrested after setting up an encampment near the Student Union Center. Video posted on social media Thursday showed officers tearing down tents at Emory University in Georgia.
The testimony of former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker dominated the first week of former President Donald Trump's hush money trial. Correspondent Willie James Inman has the summary.
During testimony for the prosecution this week, Pecker described how he helped conceal potentially damaging stories about Trump during the 2016 election. The defense argued that the practice known as catch and kill was not unusual and that there were similar alleged arrangements with other celebrities, including Arnold Schwarzenegger, Tiger Woods, and Mark Wahlberg. But when he was asked by prosecutors whether there was a difference with Trump, "Did you suppress stories to help a presidential candidate?" "Yes," Pecker said.
The Biden administration has again delayed a proposed ban on menthol cigarettes. It says immense feedback is the reason why.
Health organizations favor the ban, but the ACLU warns it would, quote, disproportionately impact people of color and prioritize criminalization over health. Lisa Lacasse, president of the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, sees it this way.
We think the data should be the most important thing, and the voice that's really being listened to right now is the tobacco industry.
Menthol cigarettes are heavily marketed to black communities and are appealing to teenagers. It's not known how long a final decision will take. Michael Toscano, CBS News, Washington.
The United Auto Workers reached a deal with Daimler Truck in North Carolina, averting a strike. More than 7,000 employees will get 25% raises. The previous contract expired yesterday. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance.
WTOP at 4:03. Good Saturday morning. It's the weekend, everybody. We've made it. Thanks for joining us. April 27th. It'll be cloudy with some spotty showers today. Nothing of any real significance. Veronica says the high should be 58 to 65. Waking up to 50 degrees in our nation's capital right now. Good morning to you. I'm Dean Lane. We thank you for taking us along for your early 4 a.m. hour ride Saturday. We begin the weekend ride this morning with protests locally against the war in Gaza on the campus of George Washington University continuing this overnight early morning. Several protesters, we're told, have pitched tents on H Street between 20th and 21st. The student-run newspaper, known as the GW Hatchet, reports this morning that at least seven of the students have been suspended and charged with 9 counts of misconduct in connection to their involvement in those earlier protests that formed the encampment. In a statement this morning, the university confirms that several students have been notified officially of those suspensions that we're talking about this morning. The school says any student who remains in University Yard may be placed on temporary suspension and administratively barred from campus altogether. In the meantime, we're also learning from the Washington Post this morning, apparently, that D.C. police on Friday rejected pleas from GW officials to clear pro-Palestinian demonstrators out of their encampment on University Yard Friday morning. Now, police reportedly told the university then they were quite concerned about the optics of a situation like that, of moving against a small number of peaceful protesters that they saw. Stick with WTOP. We'll keep you updated as we roll through the weekend. WTOP at 4:04. Jewish leaders, meantime, say they believe in the students' right to demonstrate, but they say anti-Semitic signs and slogans are crossing the line here.
There are violations of time, place, and manner restrictions, and there are restrictions that campuses can put in place, and we're seeing it beyond free speech. We're seeing intimidation. We're seeing harassment, and that is clearly consequences need to happen because of that type of conduct, and we've just now seen it in D.C. We saw it starting happening yesterday at George Washington University. And we're seeing signs like one that said the final solution with a picture of the Israeli flag. That is beyond free speech. And that is beyond using your voice to speak up and being anti-war. That is clearly anti-Semitism.
Meredith Weissel is D.C. Region Director of the Anti-Defamation League on WTOP earlier. WTOP at 4:05 Saturday morning. Turning the page to another big story we're following this morning, there is, in case you didn't know by now, a new juvenile curfew we've been telling you about, in effect, formally, this overnight early morning going through this weekend. National Harbor is where it's taking place. It says those 16 and younger must be accompanied by a parent or guardian. This applies on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights through the entire weekend. But what does running the small businesses in the area think, those who are running those businesses, how do they think this is going? WTOP's Matt Koufax was out in National Harbor to find out.
Recently, what I seen, teenagers fighting, girls, little teenage girls on their phone trying to find other teenage girls to fight them, or guys trying to find dudes to fight, and they vandalizing people's stores that they work hard for in this harbor.
Small business workers like Amber, who has a job at Pepper Palace in National Harbor, tell me they're big supporters of this new juvenile curfew.
Hope it fixes whatever's going on with these kids.
She says late night crime is eroding small business morale in the area and hopes police take a harder stance against juvenile crime. She wants a more permanent solution to what she calls the craziness.
Don't call their parent. Put them in your police call, talk to them, then call their parent. Okay, that's not going to work. Put them in a jail cell.
In National Harbor, Matt Koufax, WTOP News.
WTOP at 4:07. In other news this morning, the flash floods that killed 10 dogs at a doggy daycare in the district. You may remember it happened last summer in August. This morning, WTOP's Kate Ryan tells us an after-action report in draft form is out this weekend and includes previously reported problems along with some new recommendations.
D.C.'s draft report on the Rhode Island Avenue flooding in August outlines what's been known, that communications problems delayed emergency response to district dogs where 10 dogs died in the flooding. The recommendations include projects to cut flood risks in the area. But advisory neighborhood commissioner from Eckington, Joe Bishop Henchman, noted the only way into and out of the district dog's business led right into a flood zone.
You know, people just assumed, oh, they must have had like a stairway in the back to get up or a back door or something. No, they didn't.
And while there's a recommendation to keep that space vacant until flood risks could be ruled out, he says there's a broader question.
Why only having two exits below grade into a flood-prone area is acceptable?
The report from D.C.'s Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency was released by D.C. Councilmember Brooke Pinto's office. Kate Ryan, WTOP News.
Good morning. Welcome into WTOP. Glad you're starting your weekend morning with us.
Beautiful morning.
You're with Dean Lane on WTOP.
Where the time now is 4:08 on your Saturday morning.
Michael & Son's Precision AC Tune-Up for only $49.
Michael & Son.
Traffic and weather on the 8s and when it breaks. Good morning to Robert Workman in the WTOP Traffic Center this morning.
Good morning, Dean. Congestion on westbound I-66 through the work zone as you come through Roslyn and continue out towards Glebe Road. At least one lane is maintained through the work zone, but looks like they did stop all traffic for a couple of minutes to reposition some of the barrels as you head out through Arlington. Beyond Glebe Road, you should be fine through Falls Church, out across the Beltway, and continuing 66 west out towards Manassas. On the inner loop of the Beltway, congestion as you head past the Georgetown Pike into the work zone up towards the American Legion Bridge. You get by single file to the left on the inner loop. On the outer loop, they're working in the same stretch, and you get by single file to the right. A couple of brake lights there as well. In Rockville, still have the closure of 355 Rockville Pike near Twinbrook Parkway. Accident cleanup and investigation there. Follow police direction. 270 running without issue off of the Beltway, heading up towards Gaithersburg and continuing out towards Frederick. No issues along I-95 Route 1 or the Baltimore-Washington Parkway between 198 and the Beltway, and inside the Beltway on the BWD Parkway and Route 50 into Northeast onto New York Avenue and Kenilworth Avenue. You should find all of your lanes open. Initial reports of maybe a problem on Southern Avenue just off Pennsylvania Avenue. We'll check in with Metropolitan Police on that. If you're looking for carefree ownership of a new car, check out Fitzgerald Hyundai and the Hyundai Tucson with 3 years free maintenance. Go to fitzmall.com for the no haggle, no hassle price. I'm Robert Workman, WTOP Traffic.
Clouds have been moving in, and there will be some rain showers coming your way on this Saturday, most of which will fall between 10 a.m. and about 5 p.m., so late morning through the afternoon. Not a washout day, just very scattered and light, expecting about a tenth to a quarter of an inch of rain. 60 to 65 degrees, your afternoon temperature. This morning, we're hanging out here between 48 and 53 degrees. I'm 7 News Chief Meteorologist Veronica Johnson in the First Alert Weather Center.
And around the region this early morning, we are looking at 53 degrees in Springfield, 51 Farragut Square, 49 in Laurel, 50. You're waking up to in our nation's capital, brought to you this 4 a.m. hour Saturday by Longfence. Save 25% on Longfence decks, pavers, and fences. 6 months, no payment, no interest financing. Terms and conditions do apply. Check them out. Go to longfence.com. WTOP Saturday morning at 4:10. On WTOP, we bring you money news at 10 and 40 past each hour. Jeff Claybaugh with us to wrap your business week this morning.
The Fed's best inflation gauge shows it rose again in March, now running at 2.8%. Hughes Network Systems has opened a big manufacturing facility at Montgomery College right on its campus that will also serve students. Elon Musk is now the richest man again at $184 billion. Mark Zuckerberg's net worth fell to $154 billion. The Dow finished Friday session up 154 points. The NASDAQ up 316. That was 2%. Jeff Claybaugh, WTOP News.
So how did Donald Trump's hush money trial end for the week? We're in depth next on WTOP with a look back. It's 4:11. Good morning. Glad you're with us. Welcome in.
Catch your breath. We've got a race for you. Join us for the first ever May the 4th Be With You Star Wars themed edition of Run the Greenway 10K, 5K, and Kids Fun Run on May 4th. Get ready to run with your favorite Star Wars characters and enjoy a fun-filled event for the whole family. May the Force be with you. Register at DulleGreenway.com. That's DulleGreenway.com to learn more and register today.
Good morning. Good morning.
You're with WTOP, Van Dean Lane.
Maryland's primary election is May 14th. With three ways to participate, it's never too early to plan your vote. Between May 2nd and May 9th, you can cast your vote at an early voting center. You can also vote by mail. Request a ballot and make sure it's postmarked or placed in a drop box by May 14th. Or you can vote in person on Election Day. Find your local polling place, request a ballot, and more by visiting vote.md.gov/vote2024.
Stay up to date with WTOP News and 7 News First Alert Weather.
Hi, I'm Kathy Bates. Anyone will tell you battling cancer is not pretty, and neither are the complications like lymphedema, a chronic disease that can leave anyone undergoing cancer treatment with a lifetime of swelling and pain, often affecting one's entire body and sense of self. If you're facing a cancer diagnosis, discuss lymphedema with your doctor. With knowledge and action, we can learn and live. Learn more at lymphaticnetwork.org.
It's Saturday morning. Welcome to the weekend, April 27th in the 4 a.m. hour. Thanks for starting your morning with us. If you're just joining us as you rise this morning, you can plan your day to be cloudy and some spotty showers on and off, but nothing of any real significance, according to Veronica. We're looking at 58 to 65 for the high as we roll into the weekend. You are waking up to 50 degrees in our nation's capital right now. I'm Dean Lane. Glad you're with us this morning. Time now on WTOP is 4:14.
This is WTOP News.
There have been some serious concerns about whether or not Donald Trump's January 6th trial would be held this year before the November presidential election. And now that we've heard oral arguments just this week from the U.S. Supreme Court on presidential immunity, it may be almost guaranteed that trial will not happen this year. This morning, to flesh this out, we turn to WTOP's Dimitri Sotis, who discusses with CBS News congressional correspondent Scott McFarland Saturday morning.
The prospects of Donald Trump going on trial here in D.C. for election conspiracy and efforts to overturn the 2020 election have been dimming by the day, dimming by the hour. There's just not a lot of time left before November for that trial to happen pre-election 2024. And it seems from what the Supreme Court was saying, the tenor and content of their words at arguments yesterday, that they're about ready to shut the lights off altogether on that prospect. They're not speaking with one voice. They're not of one mindset. That was clear from arguments yesterday. They're going to need time to formulate their opinion and ruling. They're going to need probably a couple months to issue their ruling. And that is time that is simply not available at the federal courthouse down the street where Trump was to stand trial. They're going to need a couple months to get back on a war footing to have the trial if the case returns to that courthouse. And it's not clear that the Supreme Court will directly return it to that courthouse. It seems like that trial is going to slide into 2025, and that's assuming Donald Trump doesn't win re-election, because if he does, he seems primed to kill off the case altogether.
We do still have the hush money trial rolling along in New York, and that is certainly expected to conclude long before November. But what about anything else, like classified documents or the Georgia situation? Any progress there?
Those were already in the slow lane, especially the classified records case, where the judge in Florida has allowed it to get bogged down with, I mean, hundreds of entries into the court docket and how many thousands of pages of arguments. That's been in the slow lane. It remains there. The Georgia case is so big, so sweeping. It's always been, you know, a long-term project too. But Jack Smith, the special counsel, built this Washington, D.C. case narrowly. It was a skinny case made for speed, no co-defendants, a narrow set of charges. And it's just been slowed down. And it's noteworthy for a few reasons, Dimitri. But one of them is that Jack Smith, in his arguments earlier in the case, trying to stop delay tactics, said the public has a right to a speedy trial, too. A speedy trial no one will be getting.
CBS News congressional correspondent Scott McFarland on Skype with our Dimitri Sotis. A quick look this early Saturday morning as we roll into the weekend at the top stories we're following for you on WTOP. Pro-Palestinian demonstrators continue their protest at George Washington University. The school says several students have already been suspended. Locally, until 6 a.m., anyone younger than 16 that's down at National Harbor without an adult can now face consequences after a youth curfew there has gone into effect. We'll keep you updated. More in minutes. You are listening to 103.5 FM at WTOP.com.
Step into a world of enchantment with the Metropolitan School of the Arts presentation of Coppelia. This charming ballet, perfect for audiences of all ages, unfolds a delightful story of a lifelike doll and a swirl of love, humor, and fantasy. Make it a family outing on April 27th and 28th at the Washington Masonic Memorial in Alexandria, with shows at 12 and 5 p.m. Tickets are available from $22 to $25 at metropolitanarts.org. Experience the joy and whimsy of Coppelia, where dreams come to life.
And on that morning when I wake up,
you're with WTOP and Dean Lane.
Hey, have you heard the Virginia Lottery has a new Willy Wonka golden ticket scratcher that has a top prize of $100,000?
Tell that to my automated golden ticket scratcher apparatus. You simply put the ticket in here, and the machine scratches it for you. And while we wait, we can play the Willy Wonka golden ticket online game with a top prize of $1 million. Just visit VALottery.com or use the lottery app.
That's one impressive scratcher apparatus.
Use it whenever. What's mine is yours. But hands off the scratcher. That Willy Wonka golden ticket is all mine.
It's Saturday, April 27th. Welcome into WTOP. Glad you're with us this morning. Coming up, after traffic and weather this half hour.
We're getting a first-hand look at how Fairfax County Police are cracking down on dangerous drivers. I'm Scott Gelman.
WTOP at 418. On WTOP, of course, we bring you traffic and weather on the 8s and when it breaks 24-7. Good morning, Saturday, to WTOP's Robert Workman.
Good morning. We still have the closure of 355 Rockville Pike in Rockville near Twin Brook Parkway. Accident cleanup and investigation there. Follow their direction. Beltway looks okay as you head from College Park around through Silver Spring and Bethesda and down across the American Legion Bridge. It looks like they're wrapping up the work zone on the outer loop going down past the Georgetown Pike, where traffic had only been getting by single file to the right overnight. Inner loop looks like the crews are still out there with the barrels taking away your right and center lanes. On the inner loop coming up from Tyson's Corner, you get by single file to the left, but maybe they're going to knock off early. We'll see. Westbound on 66, still some congestion as you head out of the Roslyn Tunnel and through the work zone out towards Glebe Road. At least one lane is maintained through there. A little bit of congestion as they move some of the trucks around in that area. 395 A-OK both ways between the Pentagon and the Beltway, and no issues on 95 leaving the Springfield Interchange on the way down towards Dale City and Points South. At the Woodrow Wilson Bridge, your lanes are open in both directions. Looks like we're okay north on 295 up and across the 11th Street Bridge onto westbound 695 heading over towards the 3rd Street Tunnel. Light volume along New York Avenue, even through the work zone at Florida Avenue, where you lose the right lane in each direction. I'm Robert Workman, WTOP Traffic.
Mostly cloudy to cloudy skies on your Saturday. Temperatures starting out cool, 48 to 53 degrees, and it is going to be a cool afternoon with scattered showers around the area. Not a washout day, but from time to time, a little wet weather late morning through the afternoon. 60 to 65, your high temperature this Saturday. I'm 7 News Chief Meteorologist Veronica Johnson in the First Alert Weather Center.
51 degrees, you're waking up to in Tysons as well. Waldorf, 53. L'Enfant Plaza, 50. Straight up and holding in our nation's capital. Brought to you this time around Saturday morning in the 4 a.m. hour by Gutter Helmet. Say goodbye to gutter cleaning forever with Gutter Helmet by Lettner Home Solutions. 888-5-HELMET. That's 888-5-H-E-L-M-E-T. Gutter Helmet. Check them out. WTOP at 420.
Step into a world of enchantment with the Metropolitan School of the Arts presentation of Coppelia. This charming ballet, perfect for audiences of all ages, unfolds a delightful story of a lifelike doll and a swirl of love, humor, and fantasy. Make it a family outing on April 27th and 28th at the Washington Masonic Memorial in Alexandria, with shows at 12 and 5 p.m. Tickets are available from $22 to $25 at metropolitanarts.org. Experience the joy and whimsy of Coppelia, where dreams come to life.
This is WTOP News.
This Saturday morning in health-related news for you, the Biden administration is apparently delaying its proposed ban on those menthol cigarettes. In a statement this week, the White House says the administration needs more time to consider feedback on the ban, including from civil rights groups. While the ban is being shelved for now, the Biden administration, we hear, may still consider it later.
I think there's still a path. It's slender. There are some reports that this is definitely not going to happen. I don't believe that after talking to my sources. I think they actually are still considering this, maybe for after the election. But the pressures are coming from political advisors worried that jeopardizing any votes in the black community in what could be a heavily contested election, that might be the difference for President Biden in some states. So I don't know if we can say for sure that this ban won't happen, but it certainly has been a blow for a ban that was expected to take effect at this point almost a year ago.
Dan Diamond, Washington Post national reporter investigating health, politics, and policy on WTOP. Let's talk transportation Saturday morning. You very well may see more police out on the roads these days if you're driving through Fairfax County specifically. It is all part of a targeted approach to crack down on speeders and distracted drivers in the region. This morning, WTOP Scott Gelman riding along with an officer to get a firsthand look at just how the Road Shark campaign is actually working.
Speed limit's 25, they're doing 44. We'll go ahead and make a stop.
Fairfax County Police Officer Kevin Gare is watching a black Nissan SUV speed down Columbia Pike here in Annandale. He's turning his lights on. And when the car stops, he notices its registration sticker says April of 2022.
The three that I'm looking at right now are going to be for the speed, the safety inspection, and the registration.
Police are increasing visibility and enforcement along busy roads as part of their Road Shark campaign.
Ultimately, we know it's that speed is the thing that kills, and our goal is that education, enforcement, and reducing ultimately our fatalities and our fatal accidents within Fairfax County.
During this year's first wave, almost 5,700 warnings and tickets were given out. This is the second wave.
Showing them that we're out here, we are enforcing the traffic laws of the Commonwealth of Virginia, and really trying to keep our roadway safe.
In Fairfax County, Scott Gelman, WTOP News.
Southwest Airlines having some trouble right now. It has announced a multi-million dollar loss for the first quarter of the year, and it's cutting service at four different airports. Part of the reason we hear for the losses are the fuel and labor cost, as well as Boeing scaling back production of new planes, you may remember. And would you believe the no-frills airline is now proposing a first-class section?
This is something that they are looking at now. Customers have said that it's something that they want. They've been doing studies of customers, and maybe they want that. They may want assigned seating as well. For many people, they don't want to fight 24 hours before to get that A or B boarding pass or to pay for the early bird. They just want to get an assigned seat and get it. And when it comes to first class, that is money right there for any airline. It doesn't cost the airline that much more to have a bigger seat up there, but they can charge us a whole lot more to sit there. And for airlines that have first class, most of them, they make a lot of money off of it.
ABC News correspondent Alex Stone on WTOP. Meantime, members of Congress from Virginia and Maryland now citing newly released data to press their argument for not increasing the number of flights at Reagan National Airport. The FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, figures show 20% of the departures and 22% of arrivals at the airport already experience delays. To that end, the lawmakers point to data that suggests adding five round-trip flights would increase total delays by more than 12 hours a day. You are listening to 103.5 FM at WTOP.com.
When traffic takes a turn for the worse, you'll hear about it first on WTOP.
Northbound 95 has been shut down.
Traffic updates every 10 minutes on the 8s.
I heard it on WTOP.
WTOP News.
Facts matter. Sports at 25 and 55 on WTOP.
WTOP at 425 Saturday morning. Good morning to Rob Whitworth at the WTOP Sports Desk is what I'm trying to say.
The Capitals' return home was not triumphant, losing 3-1 to the New York Rangers to fall into an 0-3 hole in the best-of-seven series. Alex Ovechkin got four shots on goal after only one over the first two games, but how do you actually score, Ovi?
I have to find the open space more. You know, it's players. It's a different level of hockey, and you just have to play your game. Depending on scoring, you have to set the tone in a different way, physical.
The Caps will try to avoid a series sweep in Game 4 here in D.C. Sunday. The Nationals nearly scored as much as they did in the full three-game series with the Dodgers, opening the series in Miami with a 3-1 victory. Jacob Young on Masson.
We've hit balls hard the last couple of days, and we're going to get our pitches.